There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. So, I don't know about you guys, but I sat and I was watching the MJ documentary, Michael Jackson.
Got it. Oh, not the MJ one, the one about the concert that he was going to do.
Or Michael Jordan.
Right.
It's another MJ. No, yeah. I was really saying, you know what was really interesting that I learned, I thought was like, whoa, Michael Jackson loves popcorn.
Yeah, I know it. And apparently wine as well.
I mean, that's later on. He acquired that habit. No.
Yeah, who knew?
To maybe sort of soothe the demon so he could sleep.
No, I think that's a really important takeaway from Leaving Neverland, Henry.
He loved popcorn.
I think he was having sex with these kids just to start having more popcorn.
I have no idea. Maybe. Okay, this is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. Marcus Parks is also with us today.
Yeah, this is our first experiment, our monthly extra Side Stories to give us more time to really dig into our main episodes.
Yeah, get really shaft deep. I guess shaft deep is not that deep because you can get half a shaft in there.
Well, you can do a whole series of things with that. Henry Zebrowski is also here in beautiful New York City. It's only 26 degrees here.
It's horrible. It's horrible. I was in the shower today and I realized I got some hairs growing up the shaft of my penis.
Wow.
No kidding. Well, big Michael Jackson news. We have a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to talk a little bit about transhumanism later. And, of course, what's going on with this artificial intelligence. I don't like it one bit. And we also have a couple of tales from Marty the Robot. Of course, we talked about him it's this week's show. My goodness gracious. He's invading all the giant foods.
Mm-hmm.
He's invading the giant supermarkets. Marty the Robot. And we got a couple of DMs from a few people who are traumatized. And triggered by the sight of him.
He's not invading them. He's being invited in. He's being hired.
Yeah,
no, he's being hired by the man that be.
Doesn't he just clean up spills?
No, he doesn't even clean up spills.
He goes, attention, yes. spill.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does. And then some poor lackey has to come and clean it up at the command of Marty the Robot.
So he only alerts people to spills.
He does nothing.
He doesn't do anything.
No, he is there building the acceptance of Marty in these stores to eventually replace the people whose jobs are to put things on shelves. That's my take.
Marty is what we all have that one kid in our family who was touched.
Right.
He's just doing the job where it's like, okay, Randy, go let us know if there's spills. And then Randy goes around. He's like, there's spill over here. And be like, thank you for doing your job, Randy.
But Randy, in this case, has got the treads of an army tank and also could probably have if you revved him up, if you take the guidance thing off them like they do. What's they put on like go-karts?
A governor?
Yeah, wouldn't you take that off? It's going to be unstoppable.
Oh, yeah, buddy. It's going to be a freaking bloodbath. Clean up on aisle every one of them, and Marty will be like, blood.
You are very, very focused on this story, and a part of it's got to do, I mean, you're just very scared of the future, and you should be.
I'm not.
Because of your clots.
I'm not scared of the future. I'm scared of people being too stupid to make the future the good version.
It's too late.
If we just have a bunch of dumb Martys going around trampling over toddlers in the supermarket aisle.
Well, guess what? If they don't have the street smarts to get away from Marty, then they deserve to be destroyed. I'm one of those. If we allow, if the robots can't take over, we deserve it because we allowed them to do it.
Yeah. So, if you really want to talk about who's getting in front and as far as artificial intelligence goes, it's really coming from the Chinese these days.
Oh,
you need to read the MIT Technology Review. I'll send you some stuff. We'll talk about it next time.
Thank you so much, Marcus. I can't wait. So the big Michael Jackson news, a musical to premiere in Chicago. It's titled Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Hell yeah.
Now, this is the Michael Jackson estate in Columbia. This is actually true. This is so obviously Leaving Neverland, a traumatizing, triggering, and disgusting docuseries about James Safechuck and Wade Robson telling their experiences with Michael Jackson. But as soon as I saw episode one, I then did do a little Google search, and it looks like the play is still on.
I mean,
the Broadway. And by the way, does it have to be called Don't Stop Till You Get Enough?
I mean, that's
isn't
what
that the worst possible name for a Michael Jackson play right
that's
now?
That's what he said to himself in the mirror every day.
Right.
I watched his documentary. Number one, there is 4 hours of it.
Ugh.
Of some of the more grueling content I've seen in a while. You listen to the stories of Wade Robson, James Safechuck, and it is compelling. They talk about the stuff. They look like specifically Safechuck looks haunted. Yeah. Like, he looks and the type of shit they talk about is the type of stuff, and it's like, and we've said this before on the show, in my mind, what Safechuck was talking about, and I guess we'll go into some of the graphic detail, because I think part of the reason why the documentary was so graphic is it was a part of the telling the story of these guys know it nitty bitty gritty details about Michael Jackson's body and what they went through in their quote-unquote relationship with him, which really sort of was a relationship.
Oh, it totally was. That's the way Michael wanted it.
He married a 10-year-old boy.
Ew, like that was. I don't even want to be on a plane with a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, let alone marrying one. That's a hell of a commitment.
Yeah, and that was the moment in the documentary when Safechuck described the wedding that Michael Jackson had with him and showed the ring that Michael Jackson used to have.
And his hands were
shaking. Hands were shaking the entire time. Like, I was trying to crawl over the couch to avoid watching it, but I couldn't stop.
Get it on right. Here.
So, I mean, I think obviously there's a lot of people who are saying that this is nothing more than another smear campaign against MJ himself. Post-mortem, there's a lot of people who are coming out to defend him. His acolytes will always be there. But you just have to think about what's more plausible.
Yeah.
What's more reasonable? A person stayed in the same bed with a child stayed in their bed 365 days out of the year, and something happened or nothing happened. What is more plausible?
You're being ignorant.
I'm not being ignorant, Michael. Michael, I know that you're up there. I don't even know where you are right now because maybe
it's real hot.
It's real hot where you are. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It seems like this documentary is just, you know, really shedding a lot of light that we didn't know before about what you were up to with these kids.
Shamon Kissel, come on.
No, that's just a song. You can't just
Shamon.
That's you just can't do that.
Be ignorant.
Oh my God.
That's how I know almost that the relationship was real was when James Safechuck, when the first time he was being groomed by Michael Jackson.
Right.
When he said, he's like, Michael told me, he's like, people are going to say your relationship is weird and bad. And he's like, but those people, they're ignorant.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what he says.
You're
that's
ignorant.
His fucking go-to line.
Everything comes together. Like when you watch this documentary, all of those weird periphery things that you knew about Michael Jackson, the entire story starts to make sense.
I forgot about Michael Jackson. Honestly, I like his music, but I hadn't thought about him in quite a bit of time. When this documentary came back out, you start like, oh, that is weird. And you know what is okay.
There's a lot of enablers there.
But there's a couple of things, right? Number one, the enablers kind of almost got nixed out because Michael Jackson made all the shit as private as humanly possible. He took them to Neverland Ranch. They had staff on Neverland Ranch, but it didn't have like agents and managers and shit. So Michael Jackson really was king of that little area. So he isolated them. So it was very difficult for the enablers that were there. I mean, the biggest enablers were these kids' parents that seemed to be very
well,
taken aback.
But we have to remember, you know, this is a time, Michael Jackson, the last real celebrity.
Yeah.
This is like a time before the curtain was peeled back, no longer does celebrity exist. And these parents were starstruck. Wade Robson, who, by the way, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, I recognize that dude. And then I see the dance moves and I'm like, he's in sync.
Yeah.
And he actually filled in for Joey Fatone when Joey Fatone hurt himself in the No Strings Attached video.
Interesting.
Yes. Good facts.
But as soon as I saw him, I was like, I know that dude. But when his mother is talking about her stage mom kicked in, like initially, it really was interesting. But then, and so part of you wants to strangle the parents, just like, protect your kids. But we have to remember the power of celebrity was so much stronger.
Yeah, but still, like, think about the progression here. Like, think about just for a second, imagine that Michael Jackson is not Michael Jackson. Put anybody else in that position. Put a bus driver in Michael Jackson's position.
Girl. GURLE.
A bus driver does a job with your son. Like, your son has to go and help the bus driver clean the bus.
He has to read to the bus driver to keep him awake on long trips.
Oh, that's actually a really important job.
And then
always takes a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, sure.
And then the bus driver says, hey, I want to keep hanging out with your son. So the bus driver sends a camera crew to your house.
To film him reading books to another sample stunt bus driver.
Interview to dance.
But
the bus driver says, make the boy dance. has a camera crew there. And then imagine that a bus driver starts sending your son dozens of faxes
a day. Applehead, your friend Applehead, you doo-doo-head. I love you. I love you.
Imagine that. You know, of course. And it doesn't make any sense anymore. It's That's totally the power of celebrity.
And of course, Safechuck wanted to go into being a director. So MJ was like, I'm going to make you a director. Literally in high school, MJ just got him all of this equipment and let him shoot movies on Neverland Ranch.
He didn't even want to be anything. He was too young. Michael Jackson planted that thing into his fucking head, and then he went running with it. He built this whole reality around him that didn't exist before, and then all of a sudden these kids and their families were literally airlifted out of their lives and dropped into Michael Jackson's universe.
Well, it was an abduction. It really was. It reads like an abduction. It really does. It's another world that these kids were left in.
Yeah, the way he completely separated them from the families. And the way his staff enabled that. Because what you said about Neverland Ranch, it wasn't just on Neverland Ranch.
He had Westwood House, his L.A. Playland, whatever he called it.
Not just that. When he was on the road. Because remember, Safe Chuck's mother told that story where they went on the road with him because Safe Chuck started performing live with him. They went on the road with him. Safe Chuck would stay in the hotel room with Michael Jackson, and the mother, at first, she was in a hotel room pretty close by, but then as the tour went on, she kept getting moved further and further away, and it was not Michael Jackson that was booking the fucking hotel rooms.
No, it was his people.
It was his management. I mean, how many conversations happened behind closed doors of, are we going to let this go on? Are we going to enable this? And the answer every fucking time was yes.
Because his
reputation was stellar. His whole thing was
brilliant. How's about you stop him from doing it?
I mean, honestly.
How's about you tell
Michael Jackson no?
But yeah, but that's what's hard, right? It's like everybody talking about it. He was this hero for kids. That's a part of why, and we wonder why pedophilia is attracted to positions where they don't need to have their power checked. That's why they become teachers. That's why they make themselves priests. That's why they make themselves police officers. That's why they make themselves fucking senators. It's because a part of it is that then it does seem to be mostly
musicians.
It's all of them. It's all of them. That's where they get attracted to positions of power because then they are not questioned outright. Because that's what they all said. When they said Michael Jackson, this is Kissel. You're denying it because you want to be a senator.
I'm denying it because I know a lot of teachers that listen to this show and I don't think they have a lot of power. They don't make a lot of money and they're getting yelled at by parents all day long.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about personal power. I'm talking about personal currency. Like people that can, social currency, where you show up and essentially you can end up in this kind of this gray area where when you say Michael Jackson wants to take your kid to a fucking dance camp, he wants to take him to Los Angeles, he wants to change his whole life, and then you literally have like you're a mom from a small town in Australia, and you're just like, yeah,
well, okay. You know, she was from Melbourne, for fuck's sake.
Well, Australia is Australia. But no, that was really fascinating. And so with Wade, I mean, I think that's why he decided when he was 22 years old to defend Michael Jackson once again for the 2005, when he was on trial once again for pedophilia. And it's that story to me is really, really sad because Wade, of course, he still owes his career to Michael Jackson. And he knew that. Mm-hmm. And he knew that he couldn't see Michael Jackson behind bars, although that does make me think about Michael Jackson going to prison and how funny that first day would be where it's like, okay, boys, line up. I know what I'm doing. I'm bad. Michael Jackson, I'm bad. Maybe he would have been like the most sought after, the most like cared for prisoner of all time, or just Devo just comes and just hits him in the head right away and it's all done.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it seems like with Wade, when he did go and defend him again when he was 22 years old, that's where a lot of the conspiracy theory or just a lot of the more contrarian views of being like, this is proof that he didn't actually molest Wade. But the sad thing about that is the kid who had the cancer, who brought the charges against Michael, he's dead now, obviously. He passed away. And it was like you had a chance to like just go and blow the whole thing up and be like, you know, like because Macaulay has never said that he was molested. And so whatever, I believe whatever they want to say.
I just felt
so bad for that frickin' kid. It was his make-a-wish.
It's a thing about class and status in this country. When you look at it, you say, like, Wade Robson, the reason why, I mean, you tell me that you don't want to protect the entire life's work that you've worked towards, and you were abused, and so now you know for a fact, if whatever you say, it is never easy to be a victim coming out and saying these things happen to me, especially if it's somebody who's famous involved. Your life gets fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
He had a very high-profile career, and there's a lot of eyes on him. If he were to go after Michael Jackson, you mean tell me, because what would happen is that if he still ended up like getting let off, your whole shit's over. Like, it doesn't really matter. People are gonna stop being like, you're a snitch. You're a part of it. You're a part of a group of people that are like, you're fucking with our money, because Michael Jackson's an entire economy. He is, everybody him depends on the source of this talent for money. You're literally talking about a fucking 10% of the music industry was like living off of Michael Jackson.
Well, and not just that. So you have the economy in the financial terms, but then you also have people who really stake like their entire emotional well being based on Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
When like we talk about the trials now of the century, like Harvey Weinstein and these, there are no cheering, adoring fans. You know, when Michael was there, when he was on trial, it wasn't 50-50 or 90-10. It was 100% in support of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It was exceptionally unique. Public opinion was on his side, as opposed to what we see today.
As far as Wade Robson goes as well, you know, it's not just his career. He hadn't told anybody.
Also, can you imagine what Harvey Weinstein fans would look like?
just a bunch of producers. Oh, I'll just like him. I think he's got a lot of good
ideas. I want to be Harvey Weinstein when I grow up.
Still 45.
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with him?
Yeah, but he hadn't told his wife. He hadn't told his mother. He hadn't told his brothers or siblings. He hadn't told anybody about this. So he had a choice. Like, either tell everybody this horrible fucking secret.
Right.
Or sell it. And he chose to sell it. Like, he chose to sell the lie.
And
that's the other funny thing. Is like, he lied under oath.
Under oath. Like,
whoa.
No one has ever lied under oath in the fucking history of humankind.
Yeah. Michael Jackson had also completely groomed him.
Yes.
And he felt like they were in love, because he was entirely hypnotized by Michael Jackson's entire experience. And with Michael Jackson too, it's like he was, I believe in my head, honestly, he was 10 years old in his mind. I think of Michael Jackson in his way, because the way that all the mothers described him, the mothers of the kids.
Yeah, but I think that was manipulation.
Sure, but maybe. But also, I think at the same time, I don't think he was a well man. I think that obviously he is a pedophile, but I think a part of it is that he was crystallized into this boyhood thing, and he went and he had what he felt were real relationships with these children. He grew them, they did all the shit. I mean, he obviously knew he was doing something wrong because of society, but guess what? He wasn't 10 years old. You know who he was? 30 years old with a huge old cock. And it's like,
no, I mean, I honestly think that the more that documentary showed him after the conversations that the boys were having.
Oh, no, he became a predator.
A boogeyman. You know, his nose is falling off. He literally looks like Dan Aykroyd from Nothing But Trouble.
Because he was trying to
keep up. Weird-ass nose.
But he was trying to keep up his illusion.
You know, but it's interesting, though, when you talk about the love, because I do think that Safechuck and Robson, they did love him.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult. And it reminded me of when people get out of Scientology and they talk about L. Ron Hubbard. They still can't really criticize L. Ron Hubbard. They'll still be like, now he was a really good guy. The Scientology kind of got messed up a little bit along the way, but he is a really good, like, he's a cult leader.
Yes.
He is a global cult leader. And I mean, that's why he was able to be the Pied Piper of the world for children.
But also, I think that you look at the pattern of the kids that he had actual physical relationships with, right? If you believe Wade Robson and Safechuck, with like I do, a part of it is that it seemed to be he only physically crossed the line with the lower income kids that really, really needed him. Macaulay Culkin was an equal.
Yeah.
When they met.
Oh, he was already famous. Yeah.
That was his fucking colleague. Corey Feldman was his colleague. He didn't sleep with them. He used them literally. He had them as friends. They were friends. And so he never crossed the line with them. The other ones, he knew that not only can we have this and I can get my impulses out on this child, but also who's going to fucking believe you? I'm also making your entire life.
Yeah.
I have made you move from Australia. Right. To here away from your entire extended family. I have given you all of this.
He can justify it that way.
And
like,
once
that's how he justifies is all of his actions, that I am making this family's life better. I'm bringing them up. And in exchange, I Get Your Son.
And once again, his musical is going to premiere in Chicago.
I can't wait.
Don't stop till you get enough. You're going to want to check that out. In no way will there be protests outside of it. It's going to be a smooth ride.
But after the R. Kelly thing, too, it's the same thing. I'm watching all this shit. I'm fucking, you know, like, my penis is inside out. Just like, and then all of a sudden I'm doing dishes, like trying to walk away from the television, and it's just...
Oh my god.
No, you can't be a Michael Jackson. You can be a Quincy Jones fan.
We are on last podcast. Sure. We are big Quincy Jones fans.
Oh, yeah. Quincy Jones production fans.
Well, this is interesting. This is Christopher Wheeldon. He's the choreographer of Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. This is what he has to say. He says, We are all very clear that we don't want We are all very clear that we don't want this to be a concert or an impersonation show.
Uh-huh.
We want it to be a portrait of the artist, a man of contradictions that contained so much beauty,
Kissel.
A life like Michael's, so rich, dense, and troubled. But there were these moments of great lightness. We are interested in celebrating Michael and in breaking down his songs and really listening to them.
Kissel, can you hear the tap dancing, just tap dancing around, like, how do we sell this? And I will say again, too, what we've said, I think we say a lot on the last podcast, if 1% of it is true.
Yeah.
And if 1% of it, if he just looked at that kid's butthole one time.
Well, you know, that's the sad thing. You know, when they go into the great details of what the,
awful.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking about a 7-year-old. And of course, you know, it makes your skin crawl because, you know, we have. You know, that is just, it's devastating for these people. So.
You know, man, it's all fucked up. It's not good.
Yeah, it is absolutely devastating. And, you know, in the sense of fairness, I'd spent a long time today looking through the Michael Jackson truthers.
Yeah.
You know, looking through all that type of shit. And one of the biggest things they put forth, and we already addressed a couple of these things, but one of the biggest things they put forth is the FBI investigations. Like, they investigated him for 10 years and put out a 300-page report about Michael Jackson and never brought any charges. Like, yeah, but did you read the fucking report? Did you see what was actually in there?
What is in the report?
There are multiple pages about a video cassette tape marked in part, this is what it's called, Michael Jackson's Neverland Favorites, an all-boy anthology.
It's like, it's
just name it. It's just called I Love Pizza.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's a scarier title. It's like a scarier twist than in the movie Get Out.
Technically, I Love Pizza, that would feed into Pizzagate, and then
we're right back to where we started.
The FBI went to the Philippines to talk to two former employees of the Neverland Ranch, this couple that managed Neverland Ranch from 1988 to 1990. They left due to disagreements with other staff. They claimed that, you know, they saw Michael Jackson fondle young boys on at least two occasions. In 1993, London agents, this is from a Daily Beast article that, you know, pretty much summarized it. 1993, London agents forwarded Los Angeles colleagues a letter providing background information on articles that appeared in the UK press concerning a British national who alleges that Michael Jackson made an indecent telephone call to him during 1979.
Oh. Man, he's been doing this for a fucking while.
I mean, he had this thing worked out very well.
I mean,
by the time he got to Wade and Safechuck, he had this thing worked out.
Yeah, because that's what you don't think. That was one of my first thoughts when I was watching the beginning of the documentary. It's like, you don't think about him doing this during the bad years. Like, you don't think about him doing Beat It and molesting kids. You think about it during Dangerous.
Yeah,
you
know, like, you are not alone. Just him speaking to a kid alone in a shower.
Well, you know, that's the saddest part about all of this. First of all, Mr. Rogers, we still have him.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers
always
is still,
well.
Every
sure.
time,
always
I, well. Every time a childhood hero is ruined, I'm like, we still got Mr. Rogers.
And Guy Fieri is still not
Guy
been
Fieri
indicted.
Will always be great. The only news that he gets is that he donated more money than we thought to people who are fighting the fires in California.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
The
exactly.
only thing that Guy Fieri does is donate food. But when it comes to how good this could, Michael Jackson could have been a great person.
Yeah. Could have
you know,
been.
He could have helped out so many kids. And like the kids talk about during the days how much It was pure joy.
Mm-hmm. He did help, but that's the thing. But he did it.
He did it for nefarious reasons.
He did it as like an invoice for his crime.
Exactly.
Like basically,
he was like, "This is the yin and the yang."
Yeah.
And he of course did not molest every single child that he came into contact with.
No, who's got the time?
He's Michael Jackson still. You know, he's got a plan tour.
He's got to do all the choreographing. He's got to do all the fucking studio sessions.
He came into contact with thousands upon thousands of kids, and you know, and I'm sure a lot of them they did just know him as a kind man who came in, paid for medical bills and entertained them and gave them great some of the best days of their lives. But the few kids that did not get that, that got something entirely different, that got taken to the next level.
Yeah.
You got promoted.
Yeah. I mean,
it just puts a really sad cloud. Like when he helped, buy the folks a house for the family. Like absolutely. It just makes everything gross. But did he do it for being a good person?
Well, he did after the first accusations. Because remember, Michael, he only, and this is something that I didn't remember, Michael Jackson only had one trial. 2005 was the only time he ever went to trial.
Because he paid out the other case in 93.
Because he paid out the case in 93. And
that played out perfectly for their narrative, though, that they just want the money.
Yeah, it played out perfectly. And speaking of 93, like the FBI found a couple that had taken a train from Chicago to the Grand Canyon in 1992. Michael Jackson allegedly had four compartments on the train, and Michael was allegedly traveling with a 12 to 13-year-old boy who was ID'd as Michael's quote-unquote cousin. The document continues from the FBI report, Jackson was very possessive of the boy at night, and the person who reported this heard questionable noises through the wall. She was concerned enough to notify the conductor of her suspicions.
Okay.
And this was before any allegations came out. That report was made before any allegations or anyone said anything weird about Michael Jackson kids.
He only had one official trial, but he almost had two. Yeah. And it just gets to a point where it's been like, how many trials need to happen before you wonder what it is? And also, after he got acquitted in 2005 or 2003, whatever it was, when he's dancing on the van, it's like he went up and he's just like moonwalking on the van and he's like throwing things at people. And it's like a thing where you're just like, you know, if I had just narrowly been... innocent of child molestation, I think I'd be a little like, I just never want this to happen again. I think I would be a little bit low key. I mean, I'm not saying that don't be like, I'm not going to judge his reaction really, because I mean, who knows? But still, it's just like, it's a little bit like,
Well, I mean, he really was. And of course, that's why Wade was so important for that. And everywhere he went, he had a show. He had a crowd to put on a show for.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you watch the very end in the credits, it's powerful when Wade burns all the stuff that Michael Jackson gave him. Did you see that part? He burned like the hat and the glove. And,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff, and it's almost like
he should have sold it.
I thought that he didn't. Thank God he didn't sell it, because I'd never be like, he's just selling it to make money. Yeah. I think he's actually doing well financially. Wade probably is.
Yes, he is. I will say, and I wonder about paying out the other family. They shouldn't have taken that money. But if you put $23 million,
$22 million,
and it's like rich. I mean,
$22 million. That fucking does a lot of walking and talking.
It does. Yeah. And honestly, you go to trial. I mean, when Mark Garagos is talking, it is horrifying. Mm-hmm. When he's like, we are going to bring the hammer down on you. You are going to have a justice team up your ass if you try to mess with Michael Jackson. They were freaking scary.
Yeah, dude.
It was like scarier than the mob.
Yeah.
So if you're that family, you're like, let's just get in and get the hell out of here, because this is going to cost us a shitload of cash and they're going to destroy us. They're going to destroy our lives.
And concerning the lack of evidence, because they said that the FBI raided Neverland Ranch and found no evidence, it was put forth in the documentary that Michael Jackson knew how to get rid of evidence. Because remember the story when he tried having anal sex with Wade Robson?
Yeah, I remember that fucking story, Marcus. Yeah, I do.
But when he was 14 and called him up the next day and was like, hey, you need to get rid of your underwear. Where did you put it? Did you throw it away?
Called him in, yeah.
Yeah, he called him in, told him you have to go get rid of it, and he went and got rid of it. So Michael, he was doing this for so long.
And he was good.
I mean, by the time the FBI came, you know, by the time they were at, like, he was so far also, beyond getting caught.
Neverland Ranch is not the Parks Ranch in beautiful Texas. It was how many acres? Hundreds of acres.
No, it's thousands of acres. I think it was 2,800 acres.
It was cool looking, and it's kind of, you
know. It's kind of scary. Did you notice, like, the front door looks like a mouth with eyes? Like,
yeah.
It's all Disney.
It's scary.
It's literally just Disney World. He made it all Disney-fied on the inside. It's this little magical getaway from all society.
Oh, my God.
Meant only for a children's imagination.
But also, it's a children's imagination, but it also looks like someone's grandma's house.
Yeah.
It's scary.
But in a fucking awful way, because everything is displayed on those weird cabinets that have, that's just like gold piping. Mm-hmm. And it's just creepy as shit.
You mean classy.
I love that gold. Let everyone know. And then also, we didn't even talk about his sham marriage to Lisa Marie Presley. She had to kiss him, and I was talking with Marcus about this before. Reminds me of the end of Ace Ventura, just like Finkel is Einhorn. Like, can you imagine? Or like,
Ten, Lisa, hey. Listen, we're definitely gonna have to kiss. We're gonna have to kiss one time on camera. But what I'm gonna need you to do is, I'm gonna need you to get on your knees because I like a shorter man. I don't like it, Michael.
I don't like it.
Oh my! But honestly, that was such a disgusting sham of a relationship.
Yeah, it was.
And again, I don't think that stuff can really happen anymore.
I don't. Quincy Jones is a hell of a producer.
He is a hell of a producer, but
the age of the mega celebrity
is done.
Like when you watch people crying at the sight of Michael Jackson, the huge throngs of people trying to get to him, like that just crazy. Maybe in Korea, like with K-pop stars, maybe that still happens. Yeah,
the Beeb gets a little love, but nothing the way that it was.
No,
just nothing.
Not in that.
I think it's also good.
Not that big.
The problem is you build these kind of cults of personality, and then they can't be touched.
Like, mythical creatures.
He's because in the very center of all this, Michael Jackson was still like a guy. He was still this dude. It's not sympathy, but I understand that his life, he signed himself over. He was a victim of severe abuse. I know that's how it always trickles down, which is like he basically put it on everybody else. And it's really unfortunate. It's really the way the whole story blows up. But he's dead now. So he doesn't get, he got out. He was poor, and he fucking died essentially alone, surrounded by, he was murdered by his fucking doctor.
He was not murdered by his doctor.
He was murdered by his doctor.
The doctor, I think that he actually seemed like he kind of just wanted to check out.
I think he's just a piece of shit.
That's what it seems like. I think he just started kind of getting hammered. He realized that the kids, all that sham, all like having the kids, which by the way, if you actually look at his real complexion in real life, those kids don't have any melanin in them whatsoever. So I don't know what Debbie Rowe was doing.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I have no idea what the hell that's all about.
All of this shit's very
weird.
That's
a whole other thing. But it seems like he was just ready to roll.
At least with R. Kelly, we're going to maybe see a little bit of a of
that's
again
a whole
on
other freaking can of worms.
God, he's going down. Like,
that interview with.
Let him go on TV. Like, I could
brilliant
just,
producers.
I could
I
can imagine his lawyer, the 6-hour-long argument that had to happen. It's like, don't do it.
Don't go.
I've got to clear my name.
Honestly, no, I don't. It's not going to. And he just yells. And finally, fuck it. Go it. Go ahead and do it. And then
do
it just.
What you got to do.
It puts. It just guaranteed. That interview is one of those things like where you could point to the moment. And it's like, that's why you're going to spend the rest of your life.
The people are going to love me. They're going to put me on camera. And you know what? I believe I can.
He's got deep psychological problems. And
very
needs a whole bunch of help. Probably help that Gail King is not going to be able to give him.
Yeah.
That was a whole other thing. So anyway.
Well, I'm just glad that I don't have to watch that documentary anymore.
I am so happy to be done with it. Leaving Neverland. It's important. Check it out.
It is.
It changes. You know, there's a lot of radio stations being like, should we pull the music and all that kind of stuff? That's something that'll be up for debate now. And, you know.
I mean, I don't know. That's one of those weird conversations where you go and like, you know, I don't really have an emotional
tie to
Michael Jackson.
You literally cannot avoid Michael Jackson.
No, he's.
Even Wade was talking about how sometimes he's at a bar and he'll hear a Michael Jackson song and he'll literally start tapping his toe and then he'd be like, oh no, I think this was Safe Truck. And then he starts tapping his toe and he's like, oh yeah, that's right, that's Michael Jackson. And then I gotta go. Like, it's so in our culture.
Yeah.
It's so marbled in like that sweet Kobe beef.
Mm.
So it's gonna be interesting
as a culture. Do you think Weird Al's gonna do fat anymore?
Honestly, I
it
hope
should allow to. It should be allowed.
He can because fat. Yes, he can.
In our thing, last podcast we would like Weird Al to continue to play fat. Yes.
Weird Al is now my Michael Jackson.
Yeah, well, that's
Michael Jackson made his career.
It's Eat It and it's fat.
That's the thing. It. For years I've preferred Eat It and Fat to Beat It and Bad.
Whoa, that shows a lot about your taste.
I know it shows a lot about my taste. I know it says a lot about who I am as a person.
It's just the beat. I don't care what the words are.
Bad doesn't make me laugh.
No,
fat
also
makes me belly laugh.
And it's funny because he's eating all that food.
He's so fat.
He's fat. Oh my God. Although I'm sure some people are like, that's fat appropriation, Al, but Al gets a pass on whatever he does because all he tries to do is bring true joy to people without some secret, disgusting, hidden past.
But you got fucking LASIK presence. Like a fucking sellout.
Did he get LASIK?
That's it. Now I'm back. Now
you
I
got LASIK?
Not here anymore.
Leaving Neverland. Check it out. And of course, I don't like to mention it too much, but growing up with all those children that were molested in foster care, you know, it's very serious. And so get help if you experience that. Go through the process of because, you know, it's interesting when you hear Safe Chuck and Wade talk about, you know, they say penis, they say anus, they say these things very specifically, but that's therapy.
Yes.
That was them. You could tell that they have gone through because they freaking better have because now they're in a world of like this is turmoil for the foreseeable future for them.
Oh, yeah. They opened up the whole fucking can of worms. So now they are now targets.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We're going to see how it pans out for them. I hope that they can continue to be strong in the face of all this. I also get that you love Michael Jackson.
Yeah. It's very complex.
I know that
there
are people who are going to listen to this and get upset because they will defend Michael Jackson to the very end, and you're going to say that they're liars, but it just gets to a point where how many people have got to say the words? You really think that they're saying this because it's fun and they're making a bunch of money?
But like, even the guys, mostly Wade, though, he still loves Michael Jackson. Yeah. It really is. It's LRH. It just reminds me of a cult leader where they just can't break their brains away from it still because it so happens at such a formidable time in their lives.
Yeah.
So that's Leaving Neverland. Technically, you don't even have to watch it now. this was going to be full of spoilers, but it's interesting and sad. And
you should definitely take a look at it to see for yourself. Yeah. I really think that you should obviously, we've always been trying to do more on Last Podcast on the Left, which is like, do your research. Go walk the walk and see what you say. Obviously, you will just believe people or not. Like, but that is just, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this world that we're in right now, I'm choosing to believe people because you have to. Like,
well, in this
you look
case,
at the anguish
look
in the face.
Just think about it.
Yeah.
Just think about it.
It's not,
it's like,
yeah. It's not, but I mean, it's a big, with Wade and especially with Wade Robson, it's a lot. It seems like there's a lot of gray. There's a ton of gray. It's not as simple as he told the truth back then and he's lying now.
No, it's gray. It's all fucked up. His story, that is the one, because that's why I kind of lean towards the James Safechuck story, because that I really feel for him. Yeah. Like, it's like a thing where he didn't get the Michael Jackson bump that Wade Robson got. Like, Wade Robson owes his career to Michael Jackson, and you could see why he tried so violently to protect him in the beginning.
Right.
But then it's also weird the way he kind of comes out now is also very intense. But I wonder if he came out now because he had the security of HBO fucking backing you, and you got James Safechuck coming out and saying this shit.
You know that they got themselves some insurance on that.
Mm-hmm.
That is gonna. I can't even imagine how much that doc was to insure.
Oh,
that is gonna be. Anyway, so there. That is Leaving Neverland. Check out that interesting.
Enter Neverland.
Never go.
It's a cool looking place, though. I'll steal a joke. Jen Tisdale told me a really funny joke where she said she's a comedian, and she said a very funny joke where she said the best part about the documentary was seeing all the interiors, being able to see all the stuff on the
nice
inside
interiors.
Of it.
Live from your grave.
Live from your grave.
All right. Well, let's just change subjects completely here.
Thank you, Kissel.
No problem. Varg Vikernes is back in the news just a little bit here. Evidently, he lost an original CD version of a 1992 debut studio album from Burzum.
Come on, Kissel. You have to say Burzum.
Whatever. He lost this in a Jeep race. He gave it to a buddy. And
what a fucking piece of shit.
That was in 2018. And that record, or that CD, just sold for $1,500. So Burzum still got it.
Back on top.
$1,500. It was the 19th highest purchased auction object this month.
On Discogs. Dude, Discogs is fucking serious.
What is Discogs?
It's just a place where you can buy records, and it's a place where you buy like used records.
But you don't believe in buying records online.
I will every once in a while, but I like the hunt. Like, I really love the hunt. I've never bought anything off of Discogs. Usually what I use Discogs to go and check it out and see what the market price is, so I know, make sure I'm not overpaying for a record.
Oh, smart. Yeah, that's what I always tell Marcus. Yeah, he's always out there hunting at vinyl stores. I say, just get on Google. You can just Amazon
that. You got to do to eBay. And he's just like, eBay's cheating, Henry. And I was like, I know it's cheating, but I always cheat.
But it's about the hunt. That's half the fun of it is going out and finding it.
All right, so let's move on to a bit of a different subject from everything we've talked about so far, because Marcus is here with us.
Well, we're trying to do it.
Isn't this exciting we have Marcus here?
It's really nice because it does sort of feel like, you know, like, because we're just two. We're like the bad bruiser boys, right?
Is that right?
We're the bad bruiser boys. You're rock steady. I'm hermaphrodite. What's his name? Rinky Dinky?
I think it was Rinky Dinky.
Yeah, Rinky Dinky. Yeah, I remember Rinky Dinky.
That was the first one.
But
yeah.
Marcus is our April O'Neil.
Oh.
And so nice. That's, big titty.
That's weird. No, but April O'Neil is with the Turtles.
Mm. Yeah, that's totally wrong. We're bebop and rocksteady. He's an enemy now.
And I don't wear yellow.
I just think about April O'Neil sometimes.
Okay.
And I'm sorry I put that on you, because you also sort of have the same, I mean, this is not, it's a great haircut.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But it's the same haircut as the April O'Neil has from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
The movie, yes.
But no, she's got curly hair in the movie.
Red hair. Curly, long red hair.
Curly, long red hair.
Maybe I'm just putting all of these things together.
I think you just want to have
together.
Sex with me.
No, I don't today.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm lonely. I'm in from out of town.
Okay.
But a part of it is that what we wanted to do is that with having the secondary side stories each week, part of what we'd like to do is add like little mini deep dives into tiny little topics that interest us. This week we talk far too much about MJ for me to talk about my bullshit, but fucking Marcus has got bullshit to sling.
Well, it's not even necessarily like a mini deep dive. It's just something that I ran across that I found really interesting, because one of the things we don't really get to talk about a whole lot on the show is transhumanism.
Explain what transhumanism is.
Transhumanism is essentially the belief that we can go beyond our frail human bodies.
Yeah, dude, I can't fucking wait, dude. I'm gonna have such a crazy ergonomic fucking mechanical penis and like and big stomping legs, but I'm gonna keep my top half normal because I like my top half.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that won't be horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, at its very lowest level, transhumanism is an artificial limb. At its highest level, ooh, transhumanism is uploading your brain to the cloud.
Yeah. Yes,
but then it gets hacked. Then everyone knows what's in your brain, and it's horrible.
We speak for 6 hours a week. Everybody already knows what's in our fucking brain.
I know that. I don't know if I want it uploaded in the cloud, though. Is it safe enough? That's what I want to know.
Well, what I found out, and you know, just kind of browsing the internet, is that some of the people that are at the forefront of the transhumanist movement right now, Mormons.
Ooh, the Mormon people.
Yes, Mormon transhumanism.
Because a lot of religions hate transhumanism. They think that it's like the one of whatever they want to identify that week as the mark of the beast.
Oh yeah, of course. No, transhumanism and the mark of the beast, like those two things go hand in hand. And I get where they're coming from, because even the chip that's imprinted into your hand, that's transhumanism.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. They did it in Wisconsin.
Them. Yeah.
Did you have the chip?
No, the stupid little super whatever the factory in Wisconsin where everyone wants to get their chips quicker. We've talked about this before. They put the chip in their hand so they can get chips quicker at lunch.
Oh yeah, but that makes sense, I guess.
For you.
Well, Mormon transhumanists, and this is from a great New Yorker article that I read, is that Mormon transhumanists believe that science can bring about the, quote, realization of diverse prophetic visions of transfiguration, immortality, resurrection, renewal of this world, and the discovery and creation of worlds without end. They believe the coming leaps in science and technology will help us realize the Mormon promise of achieving perfect immortal bodies and becoming gods.
So now I have a question. Why the hell didn't Mitt Romney open with this in 2012?
How crazy would it be him showing a big exoskeleton being like, aren't I closer to Jesus?
You are, technically. Absolutely. This is kind of a cool side of Mormonism because, as Henry alluded to, evangelicalism totally against this. Mm-hmm. I know some people who said if they get cancer, they're not even seeking treatment. They refuse that side of it, that science, medicine, that kind of stuff, because they think it makes them further away from God, takes them further away from God. But I guess the Mormons have a different idea.
Now, in Mormon religion, we've been threatening this, and I think it's going to be vaguely soon. We want to do a deep dive into Mormonism. We want to talk about its origins because it has occult origins, which are really fucking interesting, with John Smith talking to prophets, doing all shit, but doing actual occult works. He was a student of the occult. Mm-hmm. But Mormonism, in the very end, right, his idea is that you get your own planet. It's like you fly up into the sky and essentially you become a light being, as has been described by like the Pleiadians for many years.
Joseph Smith just sounds like he might have been a trippy kind of guy.
He was very close to LRH.
Yeah, very close to LRH. Definitely a con man. Huge con man. Got arrested for being a con man, I think like a year or two before. He's like, I found the golden plates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he found the golden plates. I mean, come on.
Well, the Mormons have a saying, as God now is, man may be.
Fuck yeah! That's
what I'm talking about.
Sounds like a Burzum song.
Yeah, and so, like, and Mormons have actually been at the forefront of, like, technological breakthroughs throughout the years. Like, one of the developers of television was a Mormon. The guy who created the first, or helped create the first word processor, WordPerfect, was a Mormon.
Really?
The people at Atari, iOmega, those people were Mormon. The guy that made the synthetic diamond, the artificial heart, the electric traffic light. All these people were Mormon.
Because they didn't spend all their time fucking and drinking.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Well, I don't know. We've been to Utah, and I think they do a bit of the drinking.
But our friends in Utah that we have, they do it, but they kind of, you know, they
left the LDS.
All I know is, of course, and I'm not going to mock an entire religion here, but I can definitely tell Mormons created the Atari because they're like, this is pretty exciting.
Look at how fast-paced
the Pong.
Watching Pong, going like, whoa.
How does it stay on the screen?
It's
does
a sensation of speed is too much for me. It's too much.
Well, what's fascinating about it is that, you know, Mormonism, like the Mormon beliefs, can be plugged into transhumanism because that's what the guy that's kind of at the forefront is this guy named Lincoln Cannon, who seems like a very, very nice gentleman.
Okay. Sure.
You know, they sort of notice that these ideas of being able to live with your family in the afterlife, you know, transhumanism, like ideas like the cloud, could easily be plugged into that.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas all of you are uploaded to the cloud, all of your memories and feelings and all that, you're all uploaded to the same server. You're on a family server. And it also plays in with the Mormon idea of being able to baptize someone after they're dead, because that is a Mormon idea, is that if can baptize someone, you can bring someone into heaven.
That's how you get your gets.
Yeah.
That's how you get your friends you
can
up
bring,
there.
Yeah, you can bring someone into heaven. So, you know, that works with transhumanism as well. It's being able to plug someone who's already dead into your server.
So just a little channeling my inner George Norrie here. When it comes to the cloud and the brain, how they get it?
They haven't figured it out yet.
Is that just going to be the things that we have publicly said? Or, I mean, how do you get what's actually... Because everyone
basically
has some real weird stuff going on in their dome.
Very speculative.
Let me try to explain. So basically what they're in the middle of, there's several layers to this. One thing they're trying to do is physically map the actual meat of the human brain using computers, right? Basically building a computer that has the same amount of what they would say are neurons and all that kind of stuff. The way the brain is basically a gigantic physical representation, which they've been trying to do for years. Basically what they said is that what we have to do is build the roadmap of the brain, which is literally all of the transmitters it would take to put into a room, into a thing that would actually be the physical brain. Then the idea is that every part of our personality that we now know are, they are bits of information. They're things that you can get from just the day-to-day conversations. They're saying a lot of what, that's kind of what Facebook will probably end up being, which is sort of a database of your personality. And they will sell this information to companies that will use this to make a sort of aggregate of your personality that they can make into ones and zeros that they plug into this artificial brain, and essentially it would map out who you are. And that's one version of it. The other version is they have services already that you can go and you can journal yourself. You basically write your private thoughts. You do videos of yourself. You build a bigger and bigger version of essentially what you would, again, ones and zeros, that they would use some form of thing like these new deep fake software, whatever the fuck that shit is. They would use that to also sort of create a version of yourself.
And so now the theory then is you never die. You have eternal life.
Exactly.
And then I guess, but are you conscious in there? You know?
It's pretty cool. That's the question, because then you start getting the theological debate of what is a soul, you know, and it goes on and on, you know, what is a soul, what is a person, what is a human?
Yeah.
But what for me is really fascinating is like, this sounds like something out of Transmetropolitan.
I love this is where the most correct.
Like the Mormon Transhumanist Association sounds like somebody Spider Jerusalem would yell at.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like say what you will about the Mormons. I don't really care. All I know is that I like these people's ideas, and like that seems like the right track for the future.
Well, we need it. We need to watch it. Marty, the point of Marty is a grander scheme of a slow roll of getting
it.
People used to seeing robots.
In I believe positions that positions of power.
Well, they are our servants, but they just happen to be specifically physically stronger than us, right? Yeah. And then you would have
and you
to.
You can't touch them.
You can't. Not yet, but I will. You don't. You can't touch them, quote unquote, by the fucking rules of giant foods. But if it fucking gets in my shit, I'm going to touch it. I'm going to knock it over.
But the Mormon Transhumanist Association, like, it's not. I mean, these aren't like hardcore LDS people. Like, there are definitely like it's majority LDS, but there are atheists involved. There are people of other faiths involved. Like, everyone is pretty much welcome. It's like the person who wrote the New Yorker article went to one of their meetups and she. He said it was sci-fi Sunday school.
That's so cool.
That sounds really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're sitting around and they're, you know, talking about Isaac Asimov and, you know, Philip K. Dick and all this shit and then, like, bringing in, like, Mormon ideals to it and trying to put it all together. Like, it's this great mix. I mean, it's also, like, I mean, it also shares stuff with the occult because it's, like, mix and match.
Yep.
You know, it's like mix them up culture. Like, let's put all these things together and find out what it is that makes us happy.
Interesting.
You can't let the Mormons define the transhumanist culture.
It seems like they're doing it.
We can't do it.
I don't know. Lincoln Cannon seems like a very nice guy. And there's about and they're growing every single year. Like I read a few articles because there's every couple years someone writes an article about these people. They've been around since like the early 2000s when people started talking to each other on the internet. And every year the number is basically like, well, there's only about 400 MTA members. There's only about 700 MTA members. Now there's like 1,000. So they keep growing every single year and getting more and more people, you know, and it's people because, you know, there's a lot of people out there, of course, that have a lot of problems with the Mormon church because the Mormon church is horribly fucked up.
They harbor a lot of predators in the name of hiding their power.
Yeah, well, that fucking just look no further than the FLDS, you know, with Warren Jeffs.
As always with those kinds of things.
And all of that. But, you know, it does have some of the, like, it does have like LDS people in it, but you know, it's people that are still looking for that kind of, I guess, fellowship that are finding it here and finding it in a positive way. That's
kind of
cool.
But this is the kind of shit that I've been talking about for years that I feel like I have received flack for on this show and on Side Stories.
What, are you a victim again?
Yeah.
How did you make yourself a victim in this episode?
You're ignorant.
I'm ignorant?
You're ignorant.
Oh, okay, victim Henry Zebrowski.
But a part of it is I really believe that they're hacking into it, but this is the way we will evolve.
Yeah.
Is the combination of our psyches with the robotics world, with electronics. A part of it is building literally the physical version of what is already psychically available, which will eventually be revealed with science. So this idea that we are already on a gigantic network, we are connected to each other by energy psychically. They're going to build essentially the physical arm of that. And I really do believe when all of that comes together, that is the only way we will evolve. And the only way we just have to make it till then.
They're going to put your personality inside of Marty.
Do whatever they want.
As long as it
can be horny.
Yeah, of course. Well, I don't know if you can.
If we blow ourselves up before then that's it. We're headed in a dumb route. We're using all the science for dumb shit. That's where we got to go. We got to be thinking towards the goddamn stars.
Well, there's two paths. There's that path. There's the path towards, you know, intelligence. And then there's, you know, it's if we do survive, there's either the advancement path or there's the collapse path.
Oh, yeah.
And the collapse path is when...
No electronics.
Yeah.
We go back to total.
Which is extremely possible.
Yeah, which is more likely at this point, much more likely, where human civilization collapses, most of us die, but humanity does continue and we evolve on a different path.
They will be chastened but innocent.
Transhumanism was coined by Julian Huxley, who was also the founder of the World Wildlife Federation.
Yeah, and Aldous Huxley's brother.
Oh, very cool.
World Wildlife Federation had some weird scandal shit going on with money right now. I don't know.
Does it really?
On. Yeah, it was
well, then give it back to the wrestling. Then give it back. Honestly, I love animals, but do they really have a scandal going on?
There's something going on with like selling pandas for sex or something like that.
I'm going to call slander.
No, it was something about fuck toucans. They're like, we bred it with a bigger asshole. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh.
Intriguing.
Satire.
All right. Well, I guess that's basically all the time we have for today.
I suppose so.
I love that. Fuck. I want to do more on transhumanism. There's also, because there's a weird Christian sect of people that are also really upset about they have this phantom idea that the U.S. government is trying to combine humans and animals and this like idea of building like dog people and like monkey men for our armies and stuff, which I'm not saying is like a bad idea. I think it'd be cool. I'd see it.
I think they're going to go more with the robots. They're already doing that. I mean, if you want to see the real robots, they're not at the supermarket. They're on the battlegrounds in Afghanistan.
Whoa.
They really are horrified.
But that's what's cool. I like the idea of an automated army.
It's very scary.
Hey, man, you got to do what we got to do.
No, you like all the wrong ideas.
No,
you need to play Horizon Zero Dawn.
Honestly, more video games. Titanfall 2.
Incredible. No, I've been playing a lot of Civ 5, and I'm becoming more and more of a despot within my own home.
That's great.
But it allows me to get it out.
I've been playing Minecraft and building things.
That's cool.
I'm building things. I'm now playing with the Celts right now, and I am I'm a female emperor, so
pretty.
Congrats.
Pretty cool. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this exciting first kind of Marcus tradition of coming on Side Stories towards the end of the month.
And I hope we just don't, like, maybe we don't have to talk about Michael Jackson, like, for a while.
We don't have to talk about him at all now, anymore, ever again.
Yeah, we can just zip it.
It washes over you. It's all gone.
Is the term canceled? He's canceled?
Is he canceled?
I don't think so. He's too big. There's always going to be a large part of people that never believe, and then there is going to be a large part of a large section of the population that won't care.
Well, you know what you just did
forget.
There, Marcus? You clapped back.
Whoa.
So he said he's canceled, and then you did a clap back.
Did I?
And said,
how's it, but can we just call it a response?
It's clap back.
It's a clap back.
Sorry, buddy.
That was about a response within a conversation.
I don't make the rules.
I say this on the show. He's the producer.
All right, I'm going to say
this on the show. I'm going to try not to dance to a Michael Jackson song ever again.
There you go, buddy. Good luck with that. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Can't wait to see you in, we got our show here at the Bell House. This will be Tuesday. Those are already sold out, but we can't wait to see everyone there.
Is Pittsburgh sold out yet?
Pittsburgh, I think there's still a couple of tickets in Pittsburgh. You yins, get out there and buy them. They're going real fast, though. There was some small little kerfluffle with the website, as always.
Glitch.
So we got Pittsburgh, we got Nashville, we got Cincinnati and Cleveland. Cannot wait to see you all. It's going to be really nice to get back out there and spread our wings on the road.
I can't hear the word spread again.
I know. That's why I didn't
want to
say it.
I know.
I know. Michael Jackson has ruined a series of words for the week.
Speaking of this, our tour coming out, we're sponsored by Adult Swims. It's this incredible show. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. It serves a lively, just big-breasted comedic actor in it who is just one of my favorites.
He's one of your favorites.
He is one of my favorites, if not my absolute favorite performer.
Eddie Pepitone.
Eddie Pepitone's
on the show.
No, Your Pretty Face Going to Hell is sponsoring our tour. Mm-hmm. We'll you can get some Pretty Face merch.
Yeah,
up there. You're going to see some of that. You're going to see there's going to be a bit of a banner out there. But I want to say thank you to my overlords at Adult Swim for stepping in and helping us push the good word of Your Pretty Face Going to Hell. We have I'm going to have an announcement next week about the actual day of when season 4 will be released. But
okay,
I can't say anything until that day for some reason.
Stay tuned. Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, sponsoring this Last Podcast on the Left tour.
And speaking of Adult Swim, don't forget to go watch our stream every single week at adultswim.com/streams at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And of course, you can.
Streams is also a rough word right now. You can, I don't think he peed on anybody.
No, he didn't.
No.
No.
Good.
And you can actually watch all of the past live streams if you want to. They're all there on adultswim.com. They said, well, we're paying them money, so we might as well just show everything to everyone. And it's really fun. So we have been doing that now
for 3 years.
3 years.
Maybe even more. Yeah, it's like there's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, been 3 years. So it'll be 3 years this summer that we've been doing that.
So feel free to hang out with us whenever you want. So, all right, everyone.
Honestly, it's meant a lot to you guys. It's so nice you guys listen to the show. Yeah. Thank you guys for fucking supporting us as always. I'm really fucking looking forward to our next series. So Last Podcast on Left is working on a series now that is... You won't have heard of it, probably. What we're talking about it. But this is one of the wildest true crime stories I have read.
Yeah.
I am so fucking excited. Because what we've been doing is, you know, for how many years have we been doing heavy hitters?
Mm-hmm.
How many years?
Nine.
Nine. For really, oh, has it been?
As far as like heavy hitters
quote
go?
Quote unquote heavy hitters.
Six, I'd say.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've been doing heavy hitters for 6 years. But what we're really trying to do is we have some really good heavy hitters planned for this year. But what we're really trying to do is more of the smaller, hyper interesting true crime stories, which is kind of what we did in the tradition of Catherine Knight and Mark Twitchell. This next fucking series, I can't fucking wait to hear this shit.
It'll be an inside the park home run. We don't need to all be Barry Bonds, right? You can do an inside.
Barry
the...
Bonds has the asterisk, doesn't he?
Nah.
Is it Mark McGuire?
No, yeah. They all do. I
He's
miss
got
this,
big forearms.
The steroid era was the greatest time in baseball. There, I said it.
I say give it back
there,
to
there,
him.
There, I said it.
Give it back to there. Why are we so precious about baseball?
Everyone was doing it, so technically it was still parody.
Lance Armstrong was an American hero.
I agree.
Is that a bad way to stop that start
no,
the show?
No, I kind of agree with that. In some way. He worked really hard to dope.
Yeah, he did.
He worked really, really hard. And he did have those cool little bracelets there, which actually didn't. I hope that wasn't a total scam.
No, but. I mean, it did what it had to do, yeah. But he only, I mean, you know, it's hard to ride a bike.
All right, it really is.
I can't ride one.
No, I know you can't.
It's very easy to ride a bike.
No, not
try to do
for
it now.
Polish body over here. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gein.
Magustalations.
Hail me. Hail me.
All right.
Never go with a pop star anywhere without your parents.
No, don't do anything. Unless only go to see them perform.
Oh, no. If you can visit with them, dude, that sounds great. That sounds fun. No one invites us backstage.
No, they're always exhausting.
If a grown man requests to sleep in the same bed as your child.
Hey, maybe think about it.
Say no.
No.
Give it a
Not today.
That's a good way to put it off, because you
not
say
today.
Not today,
not
because then you don't. You're not saying a hard no, and you're not insulting them. You're like, well, we're just
string
she's
them
just
along.
Not today.
Hey guys, my name is Jackie Zabrowski,
and my name is Molly Neffel,
and we are here to tell you about a little show on the Last Podcast Network called Page 7.
We give you the goings-on and who's a what's-its in pop culture and celebritydom every week.
But let's be real. We mostly talk about sexy celebrity daddies and what we're excited about TV and movie-wise with Marcus and the other hosts of the LPN Network.
It's a weekly sleepover without the fake hand makeouts.
So please check out Page 7. It's like Side Stories, but with ladies.
That's absolutely not true. There's no true crime or aliens or serial killers, but it's rife with positivity and fun and celebrities and cats.
So come have a smile with us. Check out Page 7 on the Last Podcast Network. I think you might like it.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.